Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Nice to talk to you, Jordan.
Yeah, back in the saddle. It's good to have you back. The episodes we recorded when you weren't here were just awful. The guests were great. I just said a lot. And, you know, I can't imagine anybody made it 5 minutes into those things.
I'm just grateful anytime, I don't have to host the show. I can just listen to it and enjoy it. And B, anytime I go on the Maximum Fun Reddit and I click on an episode that I wasn't on and no one there is saying, thank God we're rid of Jesse. That is a win for me. That is like my top triumph.
I like the idea that there is someone who doesn't like, I don't like the idea that someone doesn't like you, but I like this fantasy person who doesn't like you, but stays subscribed to the podcast for the one or two times a year when you aren't on it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they love those nasty ass seltzers.
Sure. It's like that Simpsons gag releases, like, why would they come to our concert just to boo us? Although I feel like that about the internet sometimes, like, people who are like, fuck the DC movies. And like, when you went to see it, asshole, you'd come on. Anyway, why don't go see it?
I'm really on the wrong foot, Jordan, seltzer-wise. Speaking of seltzers.
Yeah.
Here's my issue. My wife likes to have a portable seltzer. I have a seltzer machine.
Yes. A Soda Stream.
Yeah, exactly. And
With seltzers were a topic on one of our Jesse-less episodes. Danielle Radford is a big advocate of the, like, I think she has a Soda Stream, but definitely personalizing her seltzer was a big deal for her.
Yeah, I think there's something bad about Soda Stream, like possibly they're based in the occupied territories or something. But
okay, yeah, they're powered by blood diamonds, I hear.
Without
that's what causes the bubbles.
Without getting into the pluses and minuses of Zionism, I will say that I do like...
the Dr. Bronner's bottle will do that for you.
Using my Soda Stream, but we're going to run out of juice, and my wife also likes to have a portable option. And so we'll buy some seltzers at the store. And I want to be clear. I'm not one of these millennial, new to seltzer, oh, isn't this fun people. I've been drinking seltzer since I was a wee boy because my father is a recovering alcoholic and drank nothing but club soda all day. So I've always been a big seltzer drinker. And here's my thing about seltzer, Jordan.
Yes.
The seltzer boom in some ways has been great for the seltzer consumer. Mm-hmm. The past 5 to 7 years, as LaCroix has become the nation's leading beverage brand, is great, just as I'm sure it was nice for peach iced tea enthusiasts when the Snapple lady was always on TV.
Mm-hmm. And great for fans of 120 calorie bottles of iced tea and fun trivia facts.
Exactly. And that's all wonderful. And I think it's nice.
The facts are on the cap.
I think it's nice that there's all these fancy seltzers around. However, sometimes I will say, and especially now when I don't always have my pick of grocery stores, I become frustrated because I believe that a seltzer in a can costs 25 cents. That's like one of my core beliefs.
Sure.
I think if you're paying more than 25 cents for a can of seltzer, you're a chump. And I hate being a chump, Jordan. You know
right.
That about me.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you hated being a chimp.
No, I love being a chimp. I'm a chimp okay. Secret agent like Lancelot Link. And so I have really been stymied because the grocery store that is most available to me in these times in which we live is a store called Food for Less. And Food for Less is like a low-service discount grocer. It's a great grocery store. I love it. It's enormous, and there's plenty of room in there. There's never a line. I love it. But the one thing is, they only have one brand of seltzer. It's a fancy kind, and it costs like 65 cents a piece. And it steams me every time, just because all my other groceries are $100.
Is it an Arrowhead? Call the brand out. Drag them, King.
It's some kind of organic Kroger brand. Food for Less is corporately related to Kroger.
Sure.
but they don't have what I want.
So
is
the,
what
the,
I'm
the simple truth, probably, right? Simple,
I
simple
want,
truth.
Yeah,
organic.
Something like that.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I want. Fucking Safeway Select. Safeway Select
oh,
is
yeah.
what I want. 25 cents. I just want a can that says seltzer in big letters.
How do you feel about a Target Good and Gather?
I'd absolutely enjoy a Good and Gather.
Jesse,
I don't care.
On. Listen to this. That's a Good and Gather.
God damn it. God damn it.
Ooh, I've got a Good and Gather right here.
I will say this, Jordan. About 10 days ago, I treated myself. I said, Jesse, you deserve some of the great treats that are only available at your local Trader Joe's store. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that Trader Joe's is cramped and typically has a very long line, I just got up. I got there at 8:40 in the morning for a 9 o'clock opening, went in, took care of my shopping. They only had one type of seltzer, Jordan. Blueberry lemonade. Blueberry
oh,
lemonade
yeah.
was the flavor.
Sure. I've had that.
And it was,
I don't hate it. I mean, I think you were probably dropping more than 25 cents on it, but I kind of like the flavor.
Well, Trader Joe's is impressively affordable, as always. Mm-hmm. It's in those tall, skinny cans, which are a little fancy for me. I want it to come in a can that, you know, someone crossed out root beer and wrote seltzer underneath with a permanent marker. But I have to say, I looked at that blueberry lemonade. I thought, well, that sucks. I don't want that. But it was the only kind of seltzer they had. So I just bought
two
cases.
It is weirdly specific. You would think that Trader Joe's would have basically nothing but seltzer fans that shop there. And the fact that they've gotten into the seltzer game is not surprising. But that being their one flavor is very out of left field. I like it. I think it's pretty good. But yeah, the fact that they don't have just like a lime is strange.
So I took it home, Jordan. I'm in love.
Oh, you like the blueberry lemonade.
I've got a new love. Sorry, my beautiful wife, Teresa. But I'm in love with blueberry lemonade seltzer now.
Jesse, here's my question. You fucking that can?
Yeah.
Jesse, you fucking that can?
You know how I do it. I put some wax lips on it so that it doesn't cut, you know?
Huh. You know what?
It's a pop top.
I can imagine how that works in my head. I can't quite picture it now, but I'll draw a diagram later.
Okay. Should we introduce our guest?
I would love to.
She is brilliantly talented, beautiful, hilarious, a charmer. A friend of ours, one of our all-time faves, a genuine movie star, the great Judy Greer. Hi, Judy.
Hi. What a lovely introduction and what a fun conversation to listen to before it.
This is the positive attitude that we bring into Judy Greer to engender.
Judy, are you a seltzer drinker? Have you jumped on the like trend of nothing but seltzer?
I would like to think, well, I'm not a nothing but seltzer girl, I'll be honest. I do have a SodaStream, but I feel like I was in this so long ago that my SodaStream is really ugly, and now they make really cool looking SodaStreams, and I feel like that's how long I've liked having a SodaStream and having like fizzy water. But
you have one of the old hand crank models.
It's an old one. But I think it was the last time I was on the show, maybe, were we talking about the suckiness of the coconut flavored LaCroix?
That may very well be.
Was that with you guys?
We've been talking about seltzers. Have been one of our, listen, Jordan Jesse Go is basically a reshuffling of six different topics.
Yeah.
Well,
you got seltzer, Wario.
Yeah. I don't even know the second one, so I'm glad you had me on tonight. I can talk all night about seltzer. Yeah, I like seltzer. I think it's really great. I think that we shouldn't be buying so many cans of it.
Sure.
When you can like make it in your house. It seems like that seems like a no-brainer. And when my friend lived in Brooklyn recently, she had some delivery service that like delivered the old school like glass bottles.
Oh.
And then she would use them and then put them out, and the dude like picked it up.
Like a milkman, but for seltzer?
Like a seltzer man,
a seltzer person. Yeah, let's not gender the seltzer delivery person.
I read a New York Times local color article about the seltzer man of Brooklyn, and I was like, oh, okay, well, see you later, sunny skies.
Yeah,
sold.
It makes you like want to be around mosquitoes. Like imagine in the like just having that seltzer in those old, I mean, it's just too much. It was so incredible and I can't stop thinking about it. And I don't know, you know, why that doesn't exist here. This seems like a place that would just like love that.
This seems like something that someone on a like a fixed gear bike with a fixie
yeah.
with one of those suicidal tendencies baseball hats that are flipped up. That's who should be delivering our seltzer here in LA.
And like one of the like intense chains, like but thrown like over his shoulder.
Yes.
Like that's how he locks his bike up.
Yeah.
I used to see those guys like under bridges in Chicago, the bike messengers back in the day before email, and they were so cool.
Yeah, those are cool dudes.
Our friend Ben Harrison, host of The Greatest Generation, among other Max Fun podcasts, once long ago was partners in a bitters company. He is no longer, and it was an acrimonious split, so I shan't be plugging this bitters company. But when he was when he was partners in this bitter company, one year at Christmas, my wife and I bought everyone bitters for Christmas. You know, like that kind of like you're giving out Christmas cookies or something. We're like, we're going to buy a couple of cases of bitters. And then we see somebody around the holidays, we'll bring them some of Ben Harrison's bitters. Now, that was maybe 8 or 10 years ago. And the leftovers from that round of bitters are now done. I'm at the end of my last jar of bitters that has my friend Ben Harrison's picture on it. And making a fizz face or stank face. We call it fizz face in the Bay Area. And I often will accompany my plain seltzer with flavored bitters.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to go to the liquor store, like the big fancy liquor store, during the lockdown. I was safer at home, etc. I thought this is not this is not worth a trip. So I said to myself, I'm going to go on eBay and see if I can buy bitters on eBay. So I went on eBay and I bought what this bitters brand Fee Brothers, which is one of the like three brands of bitters. They have like 20 flavors of bitters, and I just bought a box of all of them. Like, because it was, by the time I paid the shipping, like the choice was either to pay like $20 or $40.
Right.
And if I got 40, if I spent 40, then I'd have a dozen bottles of bitters, all different. And if I bought 20, I'd have one.
Are there any super unusual flavors in there?
Aztec chocolate.
Okay.
What?
I don't think I want that one.
I'll take that.
I mean, there's celery, which I think is useful in cocktails, but not... I wouldn't necessarily choose to
Bloody
drink
Mary
by itself.
Is there a cucumber one?
There's a cucumber one. There's like a cherry. There's maybe like a blood orange or something like that. I can't remember. There's a mint. I tried mint. Actually, mint was pretty nice.
What is bitters now that we're talking about it?
It's poisonous plants.
Oh.
Soaked in alcohol.
Wait, is bitters alcohol?
Yeah, it is. It is alcoholic, but it is the you use so little of it that it's legal to, you know, sell as food rather than as an alcoholic beverage.
And how many, like, how do you just like do a little dash of it in your soda water?
Exactly. Although it is also my like go-to bar order because I don't drink. So if I'm at a bar, I'll order a.
That was kind of my question. Like I thought people who didn't drink could have bitters.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I mean, it's like the amount of alcohol that's in like cookie dough from the vanilla flavor. You know what I mean?
Oh. Okay.
At a bar once, someone served me a bitters and soda where the bitters was basically the amount of bitters that would be the, like, liquor in a cocktail.
Oh my God, like 2 ounces of bitters?
like an extraordinary volume of bitters. And it was the most difficult thing to drink. And it was just regular Angostura bitters, which, you know, are like root flavored.
Yeah.
And it was brutal. It was brutal. And now I think it was like a bartender who was mad at me for not drinking. That's all I can guess.
Was it in Los Angeles?
Yeah, here in sunny Southern California.
And why didn't you tell him that was unacceptable?
Because I'm not in a position to do that. I'm a guest in the bar.
He is doing you a favor by taking your money.
Yeah.
He probably had an armband and facial hair that made him intimidating.
Yeah.
But not even taking that much money, because like, how much do you have to pay for a bitters and soda? I guess if he's filling so much, he probably did charge you like for that is something. They had these fancy mocktails at my local bar that's since closed, but before everything it closed. But I was sort of like annoyed that the mocktails cost the same as the fancy cocktails.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
You are?
I think with those mocktails, you are like, they're going overboard on the garnish. It seems like when those you know, like craft mocktails always have
like the smoky sprig of rosemary.
Like, yeah, and like a whole fruit salad around the edge.
Right.
I'm always great. Right. Judy, honestly, like as a non-drinker, if I'm at a restaurant or a bar that serves a fancy non-alcoholic drink.
You're so happy.
Which is a thing that has only existed for 5 years. Like only since the maybe 10 years, only in the bare Edison bulb era of bars and restaurants has fancy alcoholic drink been available. Fancy non-alcoholic drink been available. I'm so grateful for it every time. I would pay any amount. If they told me $14, I'd gladly pay it. And here's the other thing. When you order, take it from me, a person who's ordered many, you know, ginger ale and bitters or bitters and soda or plain seltzer with a twist of limes at bars. You never know what they're going to charge you. They could literally charge you any amount of money. I've been charged nothing. I've been charged $8. Like anywhere in there, you're just rolling the fucking dice and you know it's not up on the menu board or whatever, you know?
Right.
Like they just make it up on the spot.
Do you ever get fake beer if they have it? Do you like that?
No, I think you have to teach yourself to like beer anyway. So if you've never taught yourself to like beer, teaching yourself to like non-alcoholic beer is way more trouble than it's worth.
I hear that. Okay.
I do sometimes eat a loaf of bread.
And how much do they charge for that?
Yeah, well,
you never know. Yeah,
it depends.
It really depends. Yeah.
Judy, you're doing the rounds promoting a pretty terrific movie that I got to watch an advance of. It is called Good Boy. It is going to be on Hulu very soon. It is a horror movie about a killer service dog.
Sweet.
Who, I will say, in this movie, wears many pairs of fetching jammies.
Yes, he does. There were so many. The wardrobe trailer had so many cute, like, our little racks I thought were really adorable. Like, they had my rack, which is just regular lady clothes, and then they had Chico's rack. But, like, every once in a while, you could see that they, like, had taken some material that they like, they bought like a couple shirts and I would wear one shirt and then they would take the shirt apart and like make little jammies for Chico out of the
same. You guys have matching jammies at various points in the film.
Yes, which I think is important and I'm like working on for my own dog in my own real life.
That's a key part of cinema. Anybody who's gone to USC knows that Kurosawa pioneered the technique of having the dog and the star wear matching jammies.
Yeah, that's in a lot of film school classes. And also one of the reasons ultimately I decided to do the project was I was promised that I would be in matching jammies as my co-star, Chico.
I mean, I think the French New Wave, you know, really taught us a lot. And I think, you know, one of those things, mise-en-scène, dog jammies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen, Jordan, have you seen Dog Jammies, Mon Ami? Love that movie. Beautiful. Yes.
I mean, that's why I subscribe to the Criterion Channel. Judy, I was actually wondering while watching this, you kind of answered, I was wondering, is Judy Greer a dog person IRL?
Ugh, why? That stands for yes. I love dogs. I love dogs. I try hard to love cats. I really love dogs. I have a dog. I've always had a dog. I want all people to have dogs. I want to rescue all the dogs. I want all the dogs to have homes. I want all the dogs to be spayed and neutered. I want so many things for dogs, but yes.
Tell us about your dog that you want to make jammies for.
Well, my current dog, her name is Mary Richards. and she is sitting next to me.
Seems like that would be a senator's name.
Or the greatest character in TV history.
Who's that? I don't know the reference.
Mary Richards?
Yeah.
She was Mary Tyler Moore's character in The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Oh. Her name is Mary Richards. And, you know, this was like way back when the character of Mary Richards, was like meant to get married. She was engaged and she changed her mind at the last second and decided, no, I'm going to move to Minneapolis and pursue my career and not just become a wife and a mom. And she did. And it was like groundbreaking and trailblazing and all of those things for the time. And the show itself is really good. And I love it. And I got this little dog.
Judy, she was supposed to, I was supposed to, my dog is named Ed Asner.
Shut up.
Because he does a lot of theater cruises. No, my dog's not really.
You're joking. Well, I did kind of like, I did kind of want to get another dog and name it after another one of the characters from the show, but I could have like a little Rhoda or something. But anyway, this dog I was meant to be fostering her to find her a new home, and then I think like in the Twilight books we imprinted on each other, like Bella does, like the werewolves do with someone. And anyway, so yeah, we had to be together. I had her for like 2 weeks before the big adoption event I was supposed to take her to was on a Saturday, and like Friday morning my husband was at work and I like called him sobbing at his office. I was like, I can't quit her. And so we kept her and adopted her, and then she doesn't like when I talk about this, so I'm going to cover her ears right now because she's here next to me. But
oh boy.
She sort of changed a lot. Wow. once the paperwork was signed. She started not being as into anyone but me as she was in the beginning, and there was a lot of aggression, and like she was especially not into my husband at night, specifically in bed. And
oh wow.
So he would get like sleep attacks?
He said it was like being in bed with a cobra. And
wow.
And sometimes she would hide under the bed, and when he would walk from the bathroom to the bed at night, she would nip at his ankles. And then I started making sure she was on the bed, and then she would like kind of lunge at him. I thought for a while of trying to find maybe a used pair of like high, like falconer's gloves or something that he could sleep in.
Just hanging outside a Ren Faire until someone throws a pair in the garbage.
Who hasn't bought their husband falconer's gloves to wear in bed?
It's honestly, I think it's like year five of like, you know, the wedding presents you're supposed right. to like anniversary mm-hmm. presents is falconer's gloves. That's not a bad idea about the Ren Faire, by the way, because I used to hang outside the tennis courts by the tennis club to get tennis balls for my other dog. So, you know, I could see some falconer's gloves being like thrown over a hedge. That I could see happening.
My wife and I were in therapy because we just weren't as intimate as we once were. And the therapist suggested we try getting some falconer's gloves.
Mm.
A little outside my comfort zone, but
I feel like you should get a new therapist. That is so weird.
Yeah. I read about it in my favorite book, 30 Shades of Grey number 3. Whatever the third one is called.
Good pull.
Thank you.
So they use falconer's gloves in those. I didn't know that.
Yeah, really, yeah. Really hot. My wife and I, I'm not married, please just go with this. My wife and I, we were having some problems. And again, I think the Ren Faire keeps coming up because our therapist told us to just eat giant turkey legs in front of each other.
Oh, wow. I mean,
I think I'm doing marriage all wrong, you guys. I think Isn't there like a sex Ren Fair? Isn't there a new kind of offshoot?
Yeah, it's called the Ren Fair.
Oh. Wait, hold on. Wait. Tell us about what you've heard.
I thought I saw a billboard for like a more sensual Renaissance festival. Do you guys have computers in front of you? Can you look this up?
I'm gonna type in sensual Ren Fair.
Or like a
Jordan, open an incognito window.
Oh, the search is already autofilling for some reason. Wonder why that is.
Weird.
I actually, Judy, I think I maybe know what you're talking about. There is Hollywood and Highland, right? But right, if you're getting on the 101 there, yeah, there's a Ren Fair billboard that goes up every year. And I will say that I have not been moved by any of the like pandemic advertising that's been going on. Like, we're here for you, like in these times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get kind of moved. Because the Ren Fair billboard that is there every year, I mean, obviously they canceled the Ren Fair this year.
Fuck.
And they still put up the billboard.
Oh.
And it says, next year at our place. And it has two very hunky knights of different races. And I think that's a beautiful message now.
Yeah.
It just says, art thou horny?
Art thou? No, I think it's called the Pleasure Fair.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what it was, right? The Pleasure Fair.
Yes. And I thought that was really beautiful. I thanked the Ren Fair in my mind for that beautiful moment. And yes, I hope to experience the pleasure soon.
We have to engage with these moments of grace.
You have to.
Yeah. Are we doing that now?
Yeah. I'm feeling extremely graceful.
Let's just take a minute. Hold on. I'm going to take another sip of my Good and Gather. Store brand.
Yeah, guys, give me a minute. I'm gonna watch another episode of Grace Under Fire. That's my moment of grace.
Did you? Doesn't it make you a little like burpy when you have the seltzer and then you do a radio, like do the talk to each other, or no?
I let it out slow and easy.
Okay.
I think I did make a mistake. I usually don't have any kind of carbonated beverage before we go on, but it just happened to be on the coffee table. So I'm taking my chances.
All right. That's cool. I respect that.
Thank you. Your respect means a lot.
He's just trying to live his life, Judy. God.
I know. I don't know why I even worry about it. You guys are professionals. I also you said the word acrimonious a while ago, and that's one of those words to me that always seems like it should mean a good thing.
Mm-hmm. We should put in a petition.
I don't know. I think because of, it sounds like matrimony, but that can for some mean a very bad thing. But I don't know.
It does seem like how someone would like, you would welcome someone in Deadwood or something like that.
Yeah.
Or how you would welcome someone to a sensual Ren Fair.
You would welcome them acrimoniously.
Have you met our daddy knights of many races?
I sometimes think I like the idea of changing the meaning of this word. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good project for us. Everybody needs a project. Some people are working on their sourdough starters.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good project for us. And I think we can take inspiration from in the 19th century, there were these spelling reformers.
Oh.
Who were mad because English spelling doesn't make any sense and like changed a bunch of words' spellings to like many of the American spellings that are different from British spellings are because of these spelling reformers. But like they just like made a list of words they thought should be spelled better. And then got them changed. That could be us. That could be us. Mm. You're in Jurassic World, Judy. We can make this happen. I'm on National Public Radio. Jordan knows all about lore from Soul Calibur, Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. That's the lore I mentioned. I'm sure Soul Calibur has an interesting lore. I'm sure Voldo has a fun backstory. But I don't know it. I don't like 3D fighters. I think they're too mashy.
This is real lore that you're talking about?
No, I think Jesse's just making fun of me for having a few accomplishments. One of them being spending a lot of time with YouTube videos that explain obtuse video game stories.
Jordan, you are, though, our connection to the Writers Guild, which seems like it would be the natural organizing center for this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I could bring it up at the next meeting.
Can we change some other things, too, while we're at it?
Yeah, yes. What do you got? Sure, yeah, I'll make a look here. I'm going to open up a note. I'm going to open up my notes app. Here we go. Notes app, open.
Well, I don't know if you can help as much with the other things I want to change.
Okay.
What do you got? Maybe we can.
I have a lot of connections.
Okay, it's easier to show this in person. But you know in baseball when they say you're out and they like make the fist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like that should be the fist making is more of like a yes, you made it, you're safe. And then when they put their, you know, they do the like their hands, they wipe, like they do that big sign with their hands, like the safe yeah. sign in baseball. Doesn't that look more like a nope, nope?
Yeah, you're right. Safe. It is. It's a mixed message. What about this for an out? Judy, let me know. And again, I can clear this at the next Writers Guild meeting with President David Goodman, head writer of the Orville, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So I think how about instead of you know the fist for out,
yeah.
it's a kind of a sassy finger wag, a la no, no, no.
I love that.
No, no, no.
I love that. No, no, no. Nice. Try. I'm into this. I mean, yeah. I get behind that. I'm also happy to just switch them around.
Yeah, just kind of swap those two.
Yeah, I think it would confuse everyone but me. But I just like when I started getting into baseball, I could never remember why. Like when people were sad when he would slide into the base, and I was like, but he just said, yes, you nailed it. Yes. But then, yeah. So I had to really.
Yeah.
Now I'm imagining you celebrating various, like when you got into your college of choice or whatever, celebrating it by jerking your thumb over your shoulder.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we covered that.
Yeah, there's going to be some really fun changes.
Yeah.
This is going to be a challenge, but you know, where we're going to have to take this, I think we're going to have to start at the bottom. We're going to have to take it to umpire school.
Okay.
Sure.
There's umpire schools where, you know, hundreds and hundreds of umpires, would-be umpires get together and they really sort the wheat from the chaff.
Jesse, I know you don't are you sure you're okay with going to an umpire school? Don't you hate being an ump? You hate being a chump.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in just a second with more of Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey, I'm Jared Hill, co-host of the brand new Maximum Fun podcast, Fantime.
And I'm Travell Anderson. I'm the other more fabulous co-host. And the reason you really should be tuning in.
I feel the nausea rising.
To be Fantime is to be a big fan of something, but also have some challenging or anti feelings toward it.
Kind of like Kanye.
We're all fans of Kanye. He's a musical genius, but like, you know.
He thinks slavery is a choice.
Or like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, I love the drama, but do I want to see black women fighting each other on screen?
To the nah. We're tackling all of those complex and complicated conversations about the people, places, and things that we love.
Even though they may not love us back.
Fanti, Maximum Fun, podcast.
Ow.
La, 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 la.
Macho Man to the top rope. The flying elbow, the cover. We've got a new champion!
We're here with Macho Man Randy Savage after his big win to become the new world champion. What are you going to do now, Match?
I'm going to go listen to the newest episode of the Tights and Fights podcast, oh yeah.
Tell us more about this podcast.
It's the podcast of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, woke discussions, man, and jokes about wrestlers' fashion choices, myself excluded, yeah.
I
can't wait to listen.
Neither can I. You can find it Saturdays on Maximum Fun. Oh, yeah. Dig it. La, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la. It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Judy Greer, who loves beer.
It rhymes.
Love
I know. You didn't tell me it had to rhyme, but I thought it might impress you.
It did. Yes, I'm impressed.
I'm impressed by a rhyme. Look, I was already on your team. Of course, we've bound together to change the meaning of the word acrimony.
No, we're doing it.
I think if we got our friend Helen Zaltzman from The Allusionist, mm-hmm. She's a language influencer, isn't she?
I mean, if we know anyone who we could label a language influencer, Helen Zaltzman is probably the one.
She did a TED Talk about it.
There you go.
Yeah, our friend Helen did a TED Talk.
Oh my God, that's so cool. I would first like to start with a poll to find out if people feel like that word sounds wrong.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's put it up.
That's something we can have Brian do.
We'll put it up. We'll put up two things on the Jordan Jesse Go Facebook page. We'll put up the trailer for Judy Greer's delightful new movie, Good Boy.
Thank you.
And a poll if people are kind of bugged by what acrimonious means and they think that we should change it.
Yeah.
I have a question for you about Good Boy, Judy.
Yes.
Had you done horror before?
Why, yes, I have. I was in a film called Halloween, which was a reboot of the famous franchise of 40 years ago starring Jamie Lee Curtis.
Columbus Day.
No.
No?
Halloween. People ask me, by the way, people do ask me, when's it coming out? And I don't answer. I just stare at them. I was in a remake of the film Carrie. I was in a Wes Craven vehicle. I like to say vehicle when I'm referring to a super famous director, because like he didn't need it. Obviously, that was called Cursed. That was a flop, if I may say so. It's too bad. It really had a lot of potential. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I saw Cursed. Cursed is pretty good.
I liked it. I got to play a werewolf in it, which is amazing. I also was in a movie called Stricken 100 years ago. It was one of my first acting jobs. I doubt anyone's ever seen it or ever could. That was a horror film. But I'm really starting to truly embrace the genre, especially like the genre of horror comedy. I think that is right up my alley. And I hope I get to do more of them because it's really, really fun. It does get sticky. Fake blood is really sticky. That's another thing. If you have any sort of like, sensitive, like sensitivities to stickiness or that, it's not going to be great for you, but otherwise it's awesome.
What are they using for fake blood these days?
It depends. It depends on like what you're using it for. If you're like, if they're putting blood on my face because I like had a thing happen to me, but like it's a couple scenes later, they'll definitely just use like makeup and then they sort of dab on this like a fake blood. It's basically like something that they buy at the store. But if it's just like buckets of blood, then they make it. I don't know how they make it. We had blood buckets on Halloween and that's where they are just like dump. Like we had a blood bucket. We would just like dunk our hands in, or if something needed to be really bloody, you just like dunk it in. But that doesn't last that long. It kind of starts to separate quickly. So you want to like dunk and shoot quickly. But it's less expensive. So that's why we use the good stuff like on our faces, and then the dunking blood is, yeah.
I thought that Halloween movie, the Halloween reboot was terrific. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
But I was a little personally offended about how two murders that I think you're supposed to cheer for are annoying podcasters.
You didn't like that?
It just made me feel like perhaps the culture was coming for us.
I did go to a party once. I went to a party. Sarah Silverman, I don't know, I haven't been invited in a while, so maybe she just stopped inviting me, but she used to host a party in the summer, and there was a big sign outside of the last one I went to that said, "No podcast solicitation." Which was the best. Yeah. Like, oftentimes there's like, "No pictures, please don't use your phones while you're in here." But that was like, yeah, that's funny to me. and then they were killed in the movie. That is hilarious. You're right. Sorry about that. Wasn't up to me.
No, yeah. I mean, you didn't write it. Danny McBride wrote it, so I'm going to take it up with him.
Yeah, do it.
Judy, have you ever worn, like, creature makeup?
Oh, yes. Well, interestingly, that movie Cursed I told you about, the Wes Craven one. So that's a werewolf movie, and I'm going to spoil it right now, but it's fine. Whatever. It was years ago. If you haven't seen it, sorry. But it's a werewolf movie, and you find out I am the werewolf. Well, one of the great things about this movie, what was supposed to be so great, is that Wes Craven got Rick Baker to agree to do a werewolf transformation makeup on me, a la, like, werewolf in London, like he did, that made him so famous all those years ago. So we were going to do this like practical werewolf transformation using werewolf makeup. And since I'm a woman, we were like, you know, it was like a female werewolf. So there was a whole new element to it. And then I don't really know what happened. That's for gossip. There was a bit of a falling out between some of the higher ups, I was told, and Rick Baker dropped out of the movie. And so they ended up doing it like CGI instead. But before that happened, you know, I've been talking a long time to get to this point. I did a test makeup at Rick Baker's studio in the Valley with his assistant, who just won an Academy Award. I forget for which movie. And they turned me into a werewolf using makeup. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Wow.
It was so cool.
Do you have like a VHS tape of it that you could play at Christmas or something?
I know. That's how long ago it was. There is a Laserdisc that we... No, I'm kidding. Someone has something of it, but it was way before all that. Not that they would have even let me take pictures of it anyway, but it was incredible. And I know that there's pictures of it somewhere. I was so sad that we weren't going to do it that way. Also, by the way, it's like cheating. It's so easy to act when you look like that. I had to basically do my transformation on set in like a very bright green unitard. Like, I've never felt so stupid in my whole life. But then after that, I did motion capture for Planet of the Apes. But yeah, so I did this really cool werewolf makeup. The only thing that was funny, I remember, because it was a 6-hour makeup, I brought in back in the day, I had like the CDs of David Sedaris reading his books, like the audiobooks.
Sure.
And then I like brought in, like, I had like all the CDs of him because I wanted to listen to him while they did my makeup. But like, he's so funny that I kept laughing really hard, and they had to eventually stop it because they were like, we're just getting to a point where you can't be laughing anymore when we're doing your makeup. It's
listen
like
to these Gore Vidal books on tape.
Yeah. So I listened to Gore Vidal and it was great. The makeup looked amazing. It was cool.
That's really cool, and
it did suck that I had to do this like huge transformation in a green unitard. Although that's now, like I said already, motion capture. I guess I'm used to it. It just at the time would have been really cool to do it with like practical makeup and to work with Rick Baker, who like is a legend.
Yeah. What acting job, Judy, have you not had?
I was not in any yet of the Star Wars movies, I don't think.
You know, they put Amy Sedaris in The Mandalorian. I think you could get in there.
I'm not ruling it out.
Put in some calls. Put in some calls.
Hey, Taika Waititi, I know you're listening. I think you're making a Star Wars movie. Get Greer in there. She'd love to be the... How do you feel about a droid part?
Yeah, whatever. Totally.
Okay.
Yes.
They would do it with a mocap suit.
Great. I would be okay with that now because I did it for Planet of the Apes and like, I get it now. Also, it's different when you're having to wear the green suit and the gray suit. The gray suit is like way more forgiving. The green suit is not.
Yeah.
This is the kind of show business insider information that people come to Jordan Jesse Go for.
Yeah.
It's better to wear the gray suit. It's more forgiving. I'm wearing the green suit right now. I should have known. I was just looking at what a chub dub I looked like.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that flattering. It's so stretchy and tight and shiny. You just want the gray suit because, you know, it's almost like wearing a scuba suit. So it does hold you in a little bit better.
This is so weird. We may have Brian edited this out because this is the exact same conversation we had last week with Andy Serkis.
Shut up. He's my hero. Andy Serkis, I love you.
Well, when something momentous happens to you, like you get to go to Rick, what's the creature guy? Rick?
Rick Baker.
Rick Baker. I was trying to say Rick Davis. Yeah, the legendary effects guy, Rick Baker. In the Valley specifically. I'm glad that you added that specific.
That's where all that shit happens.
Not in Whittier.
No, in the Valley, like in Glendale.
Where do you think this was? Pico Rivera? No, it's in the Valley. It's out in the Valley.
City of industry people? No.
Give me a break, Altadena.
You wish.
So anyway.
Hey, Altadena, you wish. Hey, Costa Mesa, pound sand. You'll never get a famous makeup studio.
It's going to be in the Valley, baby. Rick Baker.
Come on.
I got to go to I went to the Valley and I went to a Jim Henson warehouse where they stored all the old Fraggles.
True story. It's out there in the Valley.
True story.
Out there in the Valley, Jordan. Jordan got to go to the Valley to the Jim Henson warehouse, jack off on a Fraggle. Congratulations, my friend.
He didn't jack off on a Fraggle. I jacked off on the dad from Dinosaurs.
Oh, not the mama.
Oh, boy. Well, what else are you going to yell when you're blasting on the dad from the Dinosaurs?
Wearing a set of Falconer's gloves that you got in therapy with your wife. I mean, honestly, guys.
Bring it all back around.
The prestige. Anyway, momentous occasions, blah, 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 206-984-4FUN, or send us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org. Here's our first call.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. I'm going to guess Travis McElroy. Huh. I have a momentous occasion. My name is Bailey, and I just posted my first horny fan fiction on the internet.
Fuck yeah.
I've never posted fan fiction on the internet before, and I've never posted anything this horny on the internet before. I posted it on my Tumblr and on AO3. It is also fan fiction based on a visual novel, which is one of the worst, silliest kinds of fan fiction, and I'm real proud of it, and like 3 people have liked it on my Tumblr. So anyway, hard as a rock, wet as a river.
Oh,
I love you guys, and I'm real proud of myself. Okay, cool. Bye.
We're proud of you too.
Yeah, you posted on Tumblr? No shit.
Wow. Tumblr. Is that still... So Tumblr's still...
Horny? Yes.
Judy, you've been many beloved characters over the years. Have you seen like fan art or fan fiction of a character you've played?
Yes, I have. Some of it is disturbing, very disturbing. One person drew the most beautiful picture I've ever seen, but then it got, probably shouldn't even say this, it's somehow this person sent it to my actual house. I don't know how they got my address. So I couldn't even post it or anything because, like, if something comes to my house, I throw it out. I mean, I open it to see if there's money in it or anything, but then I throw it out. And, like...
Yeah, it might be... It's your birthday. Your auntie might have sent a card.
Right. Or if they did, like, a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll just put, like, a different address on it and send it to one of my friends because, like, they shouldn't be sending things to my house. I'm just kidding. Sure. I've never done that. I just thought of doing that now, and it's a really good fucking idea because then I wouldn't be wasting stamps. I could, like, send my grandma, like, a bunch of cool headshots of myself. Anyway, using someone else's money.
But, see you at Christmas, Judy.
Like, normally that would be – this is what I still look like, I swear. I normally would post something that beautiful on a social media platform, but – I couldn't, but it was really great. I get a little jelly sometimes. There seems to be, I don't know if you're familiar with Archer, a lot more Pam tattoos than Carol, Cheryl, yeah, Charlene tattoos. Sure. And like, and so when we go to cons and stuff and I meet fans, there's like people, I feel like Pam tattoos really lend themselves to the back of the calf. I've seen a lot of that. Ah. And so that makes me jealous when I'm like, I can't believe someone's like, not tattooing my character, but I don't know. Pam is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. Okay, fine. I have a Pam tattoo. Okay, I didn't want to say it, but kidding.
There are no Pam tattoos in my family. But there is a tattoo style Cheryl shirt in my family that belongs to my wife.
Okay, I'll take it.
Now, she also has a Pam one. I'm not going to lie. She's got two. But
all right. Let's,
Amber Nash deserves the shine as well.
She does. And by the way, I'm happy to be in the same. I'm happy that, like, she has both of us. I just sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I get a little jealous when there's, like, so many Pams out there all dressed up. And then, like,
if you're, hey, if you're out there and you're an archer, let's see those tunt tats. Tag us. Tag us in your tunt tats.
Oh, my God. Hashtag tunt tats. Oh, Lucky's going to be really excited about this development when I tell him later.
Archer's good.
Yeah, Archer's the best. Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm very uncomfortable with my romantic interest in those cartoon characters. It makes me very uncomfortable. That's something I never thought I would experience. Don't like it. But it's funny enough that I still watch.
Thank you.
It's the only show you watch wearing your Falconer's gloves, right?
Hey. Hey. That and The Week with George Stephanopoulos. Those are the only two shows that he watches while he's wearing his Falconer. While he's wearing his Falconer's gloves.
Judy, put the Falconer's gloves on for the news hour.
Stephanopoulos, you Greek god.
He just gets handsomer. I don't understand.
He does,
it.
Yeah. He's like Steve Martin.
Judy, if you could write horny fanfic about any fictional property in the world, what horny fanfic would you write?
Oh boy, fictional property, horny fanfic. I mean, I guess I would maybe. I think I might circle back to the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Does that count?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. We've all been horny for Asner.
Sure.
Right.
You mentioned Twilight earlier. The only Twilight.
Isn't that in and of itself horny fanfiction, though?
I think it basically is. But I the only Twilight thing that I've ever experienced was I watched on YouTube one of the Twilight movies has a vampire baseball scene that's very, very beloved among baseball fans for being the most absurd presentation of baseball on film ever. Including that one orangutan movie with Jason Alexander.
What? Speaking of football, I recently watched, I rewatched MASH.
The movie?
Why is there like a full-length football game in the middle of that movie? Like, is that new for like a new release or something? Like, I don't remember there being like...
No, that's always been in there. That's Robert Altman's specialty is he weaves those stories together along with some really long, boring stuff.
I remember my dad was a big like Bond fan and like sat me down to like, oh, now you're going to see a real movie. And like we watched GoldenEye and like they just play a full game of golf in that.
In GoldenEye?
Yeah. Oh, no, not GoldenEye. I'm sorry. Gosh, what's the most beloved Bond movie? Goldfinger.
Oh, one of those. Goldfinger. Was that? Yeah. Is that Austin Powers?
Yeah, I think it's Goldmember.
Goldmember. Okay, there you go. Goldfinger.
And one of the Sean Connery Bonds. They just play a whole game of golf. And I'm like, it's 1992. I've seen Van Damme movies. This fucking sucks. Like, what? Why are they playing a whole game of golf?
I think it was a time when, you know, like nowadays in those Bond movies, all the like cars and clothes and watches and all that Bond crap, it's all like licensing deals.
Sure.
But at the time, it was just like, you know, his clothes were made by, I don't remember who, Norton and Sons or something on Savile Row, but it was just because that was who made Sean Connery's clothes. Mm. And I think that probably this is the same thing. Like Sean Connery said, I want to play golf now. Mm-hmm. And they had all the cameras set up. So they're like, all right, we got to do what he says.
Yeah.
I've recently worked with an actor who wanted a new tuxedo. So he pitched a scene in our TV show where he would be wearing a tuxedo so that he could get a new tuxedo.
Wow. Hell yeah. That's a power move. That's when I hosted a television show many years ago, I got paid $300 an episode.
I'm so sorry.
And so they were like, we're so, it was fun. It was fine. $300 counted to me at the time. So I was glad to have the job. But I was getting my $300 an episode. We'd shoot two back-to-back, so I'd get $600. And they would feel bad that they were only giving me $600. I'm like, well, I'm still getting paid $600 for 3 hours' work, you know? But, like, the one inducement they gave me, they were like, our wardrobe budget is $100 per episode. We can just give you that $100 if we don't have to buy any clothes for you. And I was like, That was it. I bought myself a nice piece of Filson luggage with that money.
Filson is lovely.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. That's how you got a scheme. You got a scheme.
I always steal my bras and underwears and socks. I do sometimes take those home. Because also, like, they're not going to be wanting to put that on other actors.
I know. They're just going to be discarded or burnt or something, right?
Or hung on the wall at Planet Hollywood, where the stars eat.
Is there still a Planet Hollywood that was...
I bet there's one in, like, Dubai.
All my underwear is up at the All-Star Cafe. Okay, mine's let's take another call.
Okay, good. I don't want to say where mine is.
Rainforest Cafe?
Island.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and all guests. James Arthur.
Close.
First off, thanks so much for your podcast. I am a new Jordan Jesse goer, and I'm delighted how this show makes me feel like I have loving friends in my ears.
Oh.
So thank you. But I'm actually calling with a momentous occasion. I was out for my daily quarantine walk. I was actually listening to this show when I was compelled to pause the show because I heard singing. So I turned around and saw a man on a bicycle pedaling in my direction. He looked around 70, 75-ish. He was extremely svelte, fully clad, head to toe in that sleek, tight, what's it called? Like spandex cycler gear.
Ooh.
And he was singing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." So, with everything going on in the world, that man singing made my day shinier and more momentous than I had ever hoped for. Okay, bye. I love you.
Aww.
Love you too. These moments of grace. It's the moments of grace we were talking about. It's why
right. It's
why when things get tough for me, I just lean on Brett Butler.
Brett Butler. I am so fascinated by people who know other people's ages so definitively.
We have an unusual thing in my neighborhood that I've noticed on my fucking dumb little bullshit walks that you have to take every week.
Do you know about these walks, Judy? The government has us taking these little walks. This is something Jordan pointed out to
me. You think this is a government thing? Continue.
Yeah, fucking Fauci's riding my ass. Dude, take your walk. Ooh, you gotta walk around. Ooh, you just walk, do it every night and that's fun. That's just, there's
little
what fun
fucking
is now.
Walks the government wants us to take. It's like, hey, I'm my own man.
Thank you.
How are you?
I've read newsletters, okay? I know things. You can tell me to take a fucking walk, but you know what? At the end of the day, I go on the little fucking walk. Government told me to. I'm a rule follower.
Do you go on your walk by yourself?
I just go on a little fucking walk. You know, I'll take my dog or my kids or whatever. You know,
weren't you walking your dog anyway? I'm so confused by the people who are walking now. And they're like, I take a walk every day. I'm like, didn't you always?
Here's the thing, Judy. These days, so previously, a lot of people were walking their dogs. A lot of people were walking for health. Now the fucking government says you got to take a little fucking walk every day.
So they've changed. They've taken over our walks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fucking the government.
Something I've seen on my dumb little bullshit walk in my neighborhood, we have, I've had to gawk at this person because I can't believe it. And I'm pretty sure, I don't think he's a mirage, we have a juggle hunk. There is a guy.
Wait.
There is a guy who goes out on his lawn and juggles, who is
now, Jordan,
a fucking stunning hunk.
You know how I feel about circus skills, Jordan.
I feel the same way. We went to the same college and were subjected to the same fucking unicycle riding devil sticks enthusiasts. This, right. Because when you think juggler, you're like, okay, like dirty ponytail, like weird strappy sandals with socks. Juggler, right? This fucking juggler is... He looks like his name should be Torstein or Sven. He was like a 9-foot sweet, like a beautiful knight from Game of Thrones who just happens to be juggling. And every time I walk by, he's like, "Hey neighbor," and it's so fucking hot. And I'm like, "What's that? Why? Why are you good at juggling and also like a nice handsome guy?"
Does he say "hey neighbor" out
he
loud?
He does say "hey neighbor," and it's so nice, and I love it. It makes my goddamn...
Does he have an accent?
No, he does not have an... I mean, in my brain, it's "hello neighbor." It's like a Teutonic
he
thing.
He sounds like someone that could, like, build himself a house.
Yeah.
Or at least a yurt.
A yurt.
Totally.
Nothing makes me madder than a person with circus skills who's getting me horny.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Really? Nothing.
It is such an affront. So,
with all the unrest that's happening currently.
With as a public radio host, I'm not allowed to speak publicly about the unrest, but I may, my opinions about it, but I may, I may get fired simply for saying the truth about sexual circus skills.
Okay.
But the reality is it's an affront. It is an affront to me and what I believe in. It is disgusting when someone is doing trapeze or whatever, and you accidentally notice that they're attractive because you're trying to shun them in that time for having circus skills.
But like, okay, so this is something my therapist would say to me. I'm you in this situation, okay? I'm like, and then they're fucking juggling and they're hot and yada yada. And my therapist would be like, okay, well, like, how often does this happen? Like, how often do you see people doing circus skills?
Are you familiar with a circus called Cirque du Soleil?
Then why are you going to Cirque du Soleil?
Because why would you I'm a contemporary American. Sometimes your aunt is in town.
And you gotta take her.
And it's majestic. We know a guy who's in Cirque du Soleil. He used to be in a sketch comedy group we used to do shows with called 10 West, a brilliant, amazing sketch comedy group. And he's a wonderful man. His name's John Monastero. God bless him. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, but I resent his circus skills. He's good looking too. He's a looker. They have a whole Cirque du Soleil just to make me horny and mad.
Huh.
It's in Las Vegas. It's called Hornet or something. Le Hornet.
No, it's not that one.
And they all wear those. They wear those unitards, but I think I haven't seen the show, but I think they it's just the unitards, but they cut out the nips and the cooch area or dong area.
Really? I saw it was sort of like a Cirque meets burlesque show, and it was fabulous.
That sounds pretty good.
I think that would be a pretty good show.
And everyone was very attractive, and there was circus skills. The girl who I'm friends with, Angel Perino, she's a real life showgirl, and she tap danced inside of a giant lady sized balloon with tassels on her nipples.
That's genuinely impressive.
It was.
You know, Jesse, I think what I'm seeing here is that Judy has a really circus positive attitude. Yeah. And you and I seem to have a lot of shame around the circus.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that once we realize that, you know, maybe what the culture tells us isn't always true, we'll be a lot more happy and a lot more comfortable being our true selves. So I just want to take a minute and acknowledge that the circus can be sexy.
I have an idea.
What's your idea?
Do I need to wait till the minute is over?
No, you can do now. Okay. I yield my time to Judy Greer.
Is your idea that we should whisper from now on? Because that's a good idea. It's fun.
Well, I just didn't want to get in trouble because I know we were taking a minute.
Oh, that's okay. I was just kind of figuring a thing.
Okay. You guys, I feel like maybe you might need to have one of these sexy circus performers on the show.
Yeah. Well, we have had sexy circus performer Matt Ricardo on the program before. He's the one circus performer we've ever had on our show. Isn't that true? Have we ever had any other circus performers or people with circus skills, Jordan?
Boy, I don't think so. We had that sexual hypnotist that one time.
Oh, yeah, we did. That was awesome. Sometime we could have my high school physical theater teacher, Jeff Raz.
Uh-huh. No,
he's a professional clown.
I think you're right. I think we need to...
Was he sexy?
He's not a bad-looking man.
Okay.
I think you're right. I think we need to confront this prejudice head-on. Yes. And I think that, I think that once we kind of meet and talk to a sexy circus performer and learn that they're not that different from you and me, we can start to live our truth.
Trying to build bridges.
Do you guys ever do live shows? Because that might be a good opportunity to have this guest on.
That would be, obviously we're not playing out these days, but once it is safe to congregate again, Judy Greer, if the next show in LA we do, we will come to you for sexy circus contacts.
Yeah. When that happens.
Yeah. I mean, that was the exact context where the erotic hypnotist came on our show.
We'll get Angel Perino to come.
That would be amazing. Yeah. I would love that. I think our audience would love that. And if it's anything like the sexual hypnotist, she can make men bring us McFlurries.
That was awesome.
Actually happened.
Oh, I forgot that she made her slave bring us McFlurries. That was great.
That was good.
Man, McFlurries are good.
Yeah.
I like Blizzards best.
Yeah, they're way better. The ice cream.
The Blizzard is from Dairy Queen. Yeah. I'm never going to be mad at an Oreo cookie either.
Yeah.
McFlurry or Blizzard.
No, I'm going to say Blizzard, Twister, McFlurry, but I'm not going to turn any of them away, especially when a sexual hypnotist
forces a sub to bring it.
Do you guys know that like all over Manhattan, I mean, maybe not right this second, but like before let's just say last year, there was like men locked up and tied down and like dominatrixes have offices everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't know this.
Even in the Valley?
They don't have offices in the Valley. They don't need to. But there could just be like a man like with a gag in his mouth, like in a cage in an office building in like Burbank potentially, which, yeah, okay, that's the Valley. So, yeah.
Yeah, like if you just see like the husk of a closed down Toys R Us and you're like, oh, shame Toys R Us went out of business. I wonder what's going to be there. It's probably already a dungeon.
Yeah.
Man, I read just recently, I cracked open, Judd Apatow edited a book of like his favorite short stories called I Found This Funny. And most of them are not funny. It's a real kick in the pants if you're looking for only funny things. But one of the ones that is really funny is past Jordan Jesse Go guest, Jonathan Ames, wrote a piece about being like, I think he's like home from college in New Jersey. He has a kid who he had very early in life, like when he was like 19 or 20. And his kid was like four. He and his kid were staying with his mom in New Jersey. And he was supposed to meet his mom and the kid at the beach that afternoon after a morning of writing in the library. But when he was in the library, he opened the newspaper, saw a local classified ad for an independent dominatrix, and just called her on a whim. It is the most delightful fucking thing in the history of the world. I mean, everything about Jonathan Ames is delightful. He's a delightful man. But it was a real hoot and a half to hear about this, like, ex-urban, you know, maybe suburban, but I think ex-urban sort of rural New Jersey Jersey Shore dominatrix who aspired to open an office in New York City. It's just a delight. It is a delightful story. Recommended.
Did he take his child?
No. He meets his child at the beach later.
Oh, I'm very curious. Thanks for this. I'm going to check it out for sure.
And I think this is a really good time to, you know, just kind of take a minute to appreciate your local independent dominatrix.
Independent dominatrix.
Thank you.
Support.
And I know people are talking about, you know, now like support, you know, independent restaurants, you know, support your
indie bookstores.
Sure. They need you now more than ever. But what about your indie doms?
Yeah. Why not get dominated over the phone?
Sure.
Why not get fin-dommed?
Fin-dommed.
That's financial domination. We learned about this from the erotic hypnotist.
I'm going to have to look at that show in the history.
Yeah, sure.
That's where you like give your dominatrix all your passwords.
Really?
Yeah.
And they lock you out of your life?
They just take withdrawals from your bank account whenever they want.
I want to be a dominatrix.
I know. Don't we all?
But wait, isn't that called stealing or no?
I think it is technically called stealing. Yes. But please, I beg you, remain independent. Don't sign up with one of the big corporate dungeons.
I'm not. No, you're right.
Nobody needs another McFlailing.
I only like to be dominated with discarded McDonald's wrappers.
For me, I'm more of a Foster's Freeze guy, but to each their own. I just think the ice cream is better. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Judy Greer, who is here.
Another solid rhyme.
Really solid.
No, I hate myself. This is really good. I hate myself.
Judy, what a joy it is to have you on the program. It's always nice to talk to you. I hope that in these difficult times, you're keeping up with your fitness trampoline.
Yeah, dude, every day. I can't get enough. I'm still obsessed with it. I'm staring at it right now.
Yes!
By the way, I have two of them now. In case anyone wants to come over and do it with me, I have a second one because it's so fucking fun.
This sounds like another great act for our impending live show that's going to happen as soon as it's safe to congregate. LA live show with
a sexy circus performer.
Yes, and Judy Greer trampoline fitness.
On my trampoline. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you asked. I'm telling you, the videos just get better and better. I feel like I'm getting better and better. I'm still not comfortable totally trampolining and jumping up and down in a circle, but I'm working on it. It's so fun. And I believe it's keeping me healthy.
Judy Greer, the new movie is on Hulu, right?
Yeah, the Umbrella series is called Into the Dark, and they have an episode once a month, and it's always tied into a holiday in that month. And they're kind of evergreen. They're standalone episodes, basically like TV movies that you can watch. And ours is for National Pet Appreciation Day. It's called Good Boy. And it is about a single woman who hates her life and gets an emotional support animal that supports her a little too much. But that sounded sexy. But it is sexy because I'm in it and I'm so sexy. Ugh.
The sexiness of the cast doesn't just stop at you. There's also some great performances in this thing by Maria Conchita Alonso and Steve Guttenberg.
Yes.
Steve Guttenberg is funny.
He's funny.
He's really good in this.
Is he still super yoked? He was super yoked for a while.
You know, I didn't see him without his clothes on. He seemed confident. Physically, so yeah.
He's probably young.
Yeah, I hope he is. I hope he is for his sake.
I'm gonna Jordan, take a note, Gutenberg's yoke.
I closed the notes app, so I'll try to remember it.
Open it back up.
Judy, I want to wholeheartedly recommend that our audience check this out. I thought it was so delightful. It's so cool. It's so funny. Legit scares. It's definitely like if you like a Gremlins, if you like a Slither, if you like a funny horror movie, this is perfect. I couldn't have enjoyed myself more.
Thank you.
I'm too scared of horror movies, so I'm just gonna watch this YouTube show that I found where a guy walks around New York and he points out cars that he thinks are neat.
Is that the show my dad is doing? Because I feel like that, he wouldn't even use the word neat. He would be so good on that show.
I just want to say, Judy, thank you for being such a delight. I knew you would. It's one of the reasons I'm here, and things have been super, super tough in my family lately, health wise.
I'm sorry.
The toughest, basically, that they've ever been in my entire life. No one has COVID. But I want to thank Jordan and Brian for filling in for me and for being such great friends, and I want to say, like, it may be that these situations might keep me out of the show at some point in the future. We'll just see how it goes, but it means a lot to me to have this to look forward to doing. If people out there enjoy listening to it, just know that it's like, it's one of the great pleasures of my life to do, and to get to talk to my friends that I love. So
we're glad you're back, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
We missed you. The listeners missed you. We're glad you're back, goofing around,
having some fun, getting your mind off some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Our producer, Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, Judy Greer, our guest on this week's program. You can find us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com, where you can chat about this week's episode. You can also like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan_Morris and at Jesse Thorne, where I posted a link to the YouTube show where the guy wanders around New York and then points at a car he thinks is neat. I've also been watching the 1989 National League Championship Series. Oh. So that's where I'm at emotionally. that's my bandwidth right now. Thanks everybody out there. A lot of folks said nice things to me. If you're out there and you're hearing this now, you're freed of the responsibility to say anything nice to me. Many nice things have been said, but thanks everybody, and I'm happy to be back and happy to be on the show. So you guys are the greatest. It's a real honor and a pleasure to do the show with you and to do the show for you, addressing my friends Brian and Jordan, addressing our friends, the listeners. Leaving out Judy.
Hello.
Don't like her. Nuts about her.
I thought it was delightful.
Too much trampoline talk. I brought it up.
I thought it was a great amount of trampoline talk.
Judy, you're the best.
Show us those tunt tats. Show us those tramp tats.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I like tramp, these ideas.
A tramp stamp doesn't just have to be a lower back tat. It can be a tattoo of a trampoline.
Dude. That's
so are we also accepting tattoos of Charlie Chaplin's signature character, the tramp?
No, the dictator only.
Okay.
Great dictator. I don't know.
Yeah, the great dictator. You're on it. Okay, we'll talk to you guys next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.